You're with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. There's a little church in Grand Junction with a big story. The Handy Chapel was built in 1892. It's always served as a refuge for the city's black residents. Here's longtime member, 87-year-old Josephine Dickey.
We didn't have a policeman. We didn't have a state. We didn't have a government. We didn't have anyone to take care of us. Who could you go to if you were mistreated? If someone beat you up or burned you up or tore your house up or what? You couldn't go to the police. The police didn't care. Or maybe the police were some of the ones that, you know, they had the Klan and they did those horrible things. So all we had was Jesus.
Dickey's great-grandfather helped build the Handy Chapel. Today, it needs some major repairs. The historic preservation group Colorado Preservation, Inc. recently named it an endangered place. Josephine, it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
What's your earliest memory of the church?
Really, I cannot say because I know I had to be an infant, but probably about 5 or 6 years old.
What do you remember?
I happened to go to church all the time.
And did you like that at the time?
Or oh, yes.
Did that feel like you did?
Oh, yes. I love the music, you know, and seeing all the people. I've always liked to be around, well, a lot of my race, because when I grew up here, most of the black people had left that I could remember. So whenever I saw a black person, I was thrilled to death.
And that was a feeling that you got at church?
Oh, yes. Besides reading about how wonderful Christ has always been for us and that if it hadn't have been for him, you know, we had no other hope but him, and he brought us through.
Will you describe the church for us?
Well, at that time, there was a huge black, round-bellied stove, and it had wooden floors. And a small little table, four-legged table, that had a bell on it that would say it was time for the Sunday school children to come into the main chapel. Then there was the pulpit, which was a little wooden thing that I think someone had made. In fact, I know someone had made it.
And about how many people can fit in this church?
Oh, I'd say about 35 easily.
How many members do you have today?
Well, we don't have too many members. We have a praise service on Sunday, and if we have 10 people or 12 people, we call that fortunate. Mm-hmm. And different people come in. Maybe there's about 4 that's there or 5 that's regular all the time, unless sickness or something comes up. But the others are just someone that comes in now and then.
The church is on this endangered list?
Yes.
What does it need?
It needs probably a new roof again on the church and the chapel house. If we don't get a roof on the chapel house, I'm afraid it's going to just fall in and ruin the whole thing. We have to have that. That's the most immediate thing.
When you say the chapel house, this is a building that's separate from the church.
Right. It's separated completely from the church.
And what would the chapel house be used for?
It was mainly for people that were destitute. You know, years and years ago, we couldn't rent from anybody. We had no place to stay. So the church had a place for people that were stranded from Pueblo or Denver to Salt Lake because we're the next largest place. And sometimes that's as far as they got. And everyone would tell them to go to Handy Chapel.
And what would they get when they went to the chapel?
They would get food, they would get clothing, they would get spiritual aid. Whatever we had, if we had a pot of cabbage or a pot of beans or whatever we had, they had with us. And we knew that they had no money, that they could not repay us. But that wasn't a fact of repaying. It was like someone was in need.
Your family's connection to this church goes back to its founding in 1892, is that right?
Yes, they say my great-grandfather helped build the church.
And then once it was built, a lot of your family members were the pastors.
Yes, my grandmother, she came from Salt Lake City, and her husband died in 07 or 08. And so she came back here to be with her father, which was Austin, which I was saying helped build the church. And because a lot of times we didn't have a minister because they traveled in and out of town. Well, she was ordained in Salt Lake City. So when no minister was here, she would preside over the services of Handy Chapel. Then her middle son, Booker Taylor, he was an ordained minister. He was there quite a number of years. But there was always a part of my family was either steward or trustees or something of the church since my great-grandfather. Yes.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and our guest is 87-year-old Josephine Dickey. Her family helped build the Handy Chapel in 1892. The chapel is now on a list of sites in Colorado that are endangered, historic places that need help to continue on. Besides worship, mm-hmm. What else did the church represent for you?
Oh, that was the place that we had, like we would have picnics. We would have ball games and everything because you couldn't go any place. You couldn't go to the swimming pools. You had to go to, if you went to the show, if you had money, you had to sit upstairs. So usually you would just have some kind of entertainment amongst yourselves.
And so in a town that was pretty segregated, this was a center for the black community.
That's
in
right.
Grand Junction.
Yes, yes.
Was the church ever attacked, or were its members ever attacked?
Not to my knowledge. No, no. They were happy that we had a place to go because they didn't want us in their churches. And, of course, quite a few would come there because they loved our singing. But anyway, no, we had no trouble at the church. At the schools, yes, but not at the church. On the streets, yes, but not at the church that I remember.
So when you're growing up in what, I guess the 1930s, right?
Well, you can go down a little bit further than that, but 30s is okay.
When you're growing up in Grand Junction, there are a few white folks who attend the church?
Oh, yeah. They attend nowadays. They've always, it's always been open to everybody. I guess because we were always discriminated because of color, we never discriminated about color.
You've talked about loving the music.
Oh, yes, yes.
Is there a favorite hymn that you've sung in that church?
One favorite one? I don't think there's...
A favorite, yeah, that's hard to pick, huh?
Yes, yeah, there were so many beautiful ones, you know, that, you know, because the way we sing, we might be singing one song, and then we would go right into another, you know. You see, from the top of my head, let's see, what can we say? What can I say? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know the man from Galilee? He walked upon the water. He calmed the rolling sea. Do you know? Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah, Jesus loves me. If it hadn't been for the love of Christ, that's the way we sang. And then, of course, we sang those old songs, you know, like Roll, Jordan, Roll, and then Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot. You know.
One would just roll right into the other.
There you go. There you go. Like you might start it and someone else would pick it up and start going. You know what I mean? Or
yeah.
You might start it or someone else would think. Or it would bring to memory some other song that they liked and they would just, you know, and then everybody would sing that and then someone else or either that person would go on from there, you know. And we just kept going.
So this church has really your family history wrapped up in it.
That's
You've
true.
Got your great-grandfather who helped build it. And I have to think that it's a pretty powerful experience to walk in there today for
yes.
you.
Yes, and then my grandson, he's studying now to be a minister, which is so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And my other grandson is coming to church now. And when you see these young people that have a different lifestyle, beginning to realize that the most important thing in life is Christ, it makes you just have so much joy. You just thank God for it.
What is it you hope that this endangered listing means?
I hope, and I think I understand it, that they will have volunteers come in and help us to restore and beautify, to preserve the church, which I would love to see it, not just for myself, not just for my family, but for everyone. And I hope that everyone could come and have that love for one another. I hope that we are that beacon that shines out there, that more people, if we can just spread that love around and show people what true love is, then this world will be a better place to live in for all of us. That's all I want Handy Chapel for.
Josephine, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Josephine Dickey lives in Grand Junction. You can see what the Handy Chapel looks like at our website, cpr.org.